Welcome to the Early Childhood Intervention Family Voices podcast. We acknowledge traditional owners of the lands on which the podcast is recorded and would like to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. The Family Voices podcast is a series of conversations with families and professionals. We hope the podcast builds on families' knowledge, skills and confidence when navigating early childhood supports. The podcast is also an opportunity for families to share their individual stories as a family with a child with a disability or developmental delay. This podcast series is brought to you by Early Childhood Intervention Australia, VICTAS. To learn more about the podcast and our organisation, please visit ekiavic.org.au.
Hello, you're with Simone Dudley, and today I'm very excited to welcome guest Melo Kalamkaridis.
Hello there. How are you, Simone?
Very well, thank you. We're excited to hear from Melo today. Melo is husband to Angela, father to Yanni and Victoria. Victoria has a disability. Melo is coach and trainer as well, working in the early childhood sector. Melo, I wonder if you could share a little bit about where you live and your family.
Sure. We live in Sydney. We live in Kangaroo Point, which is funny for some when I'm talking to people overseas. They think I'm joking with them. But so, yeah, as you've mentioned, father to Victoria and Yanni. Yanni's 14 now. Victoria is 12. She's got an intellectual disability and physical challenges. And my lovely wife, Angela, who I refer to as the glue that keeps us all together.
Fabulous. And Melo, share a little bit about your work, just so listeners can appreciate and understand your full context.
Sure. I feel really blessed in the work that I do, which is essentially in the disability sector. I actually did a program many years ago. It was a program that changed the way that I actually viewed Victoria, and I was able to view her more fully. And that was now our next program. I was since then tapped on the shoulder and asked to facilitate that program to other parents, which has been really, really a wonderful experience for me because it's been giving me an opportunity to share something that's made an impact on my life and I know on the lives of many parents. I now deliver that program and another program through Envisage, and it is about empowering parents in the support that they're giving to their children, themselves and their families. I think that gives you a snapshot.
Melo, thank you very much for sharing. And I understand how much meaning your work has to you. And I would also imagine how appreciative those that are working with you are around your work. Thinking about one of the themes that I wanted to talk to you today, which is parental agency. You described to me with Victoria that for you, it felt like you were in the passenger seat on your own journey. I would really like for you to share in more detail what this looked and felt like for you, Melo.
You know, it's interesting because we don't know what we don't know. And I thought I was a good dad, running around, making appointments, getting to appointments, you know, thinking that that's what mattered. I didn't realise I was even in the passenger seat until the day that I realised I was in the passenger seat. So for me, if you're not making decisions, if you're not turning left when you want to turn left, you're not stopping when you want to stop, if you're not making those decisions, and then clearly you're in the passenger seat. And it just struck me as, you know, what am I doing in the passenger seat of our own family journey? I should be in the driver's seat. And what I now know, we were stuck in what is known as the medical model. And it's a model that's deficit-based. Sadly, many parents find themselves in that framework. And in those early days when we're overwhelmed and we're coming to terms with, you know, a diagnosis, some of us might have a diagnosis, some of us might not. In those early days for us, we had both. We had a few diagnoses and we also were told that there was an undiagnosed syndrome as well. So there was lots of tests that we were still going through. And so we depend on doctors and professionals and therapists, and we not only depend on them, we rely on them. And without even realizing, we hand over something that was always ours, this notion of parental agency, something that I didn't even know what parental agency was. So instead of a relationship based on collaboration and a partnership and involving what I now know as best practice in the disability sector, you know, we're just in this role where at worst we dismiss ourselves as parents And at best, we might undermine our importance in terms of influencing the developmental growth and the desired outcomes. All I can say for me was that in the early days, I thought being busy was good. Being busy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, appointments following recommendations, more appointments.
And I came to realize that, yes, the appointments are important. There's no doubt about that at all. But I realized that it's what happens in between the appointments that's most important.
So can you sort of remember that moment where you thought, hang on a sec, here I am in the passenger seat. I now need to shift into the driver's seat. Can you remember that moment?
And you know what, without any doubt whatsoever, it was connecting with other parents. Not just any parents, but parents that were not stuck in their stories or the struggle. Parents who were getting things done. Parents who were positive. You know, for me, it was parents that could see the beautiful girl that is my daughter before I could. And that was the sad part for me, because they could see things in my daughter as a four-year-old that I still hadn't even been able to see clearly, because the medical model has us stuck in everything that is a challenge. Victoria can't eat, she can't walk, she can't communicate. I was stuck in that deficit model, as many are, seeing and focused on the things that she couldn't do, not seeing the things that she could. And just on your question, yeah, I'm asked often by families, what's something I could do? What's the one thing I should do? And I say to them, and this is not even a disability specific thing. This is the truth of parenting, full stop. There is no one thing. There's lots of one things. And that's the one thing that is really, really important. And do you know what? And I do remember one of the one things. And one of the one things was, I was asked by a parent in those early stages, and the question was, what are Victoria's strengths? And that's what followed, some silence, because I was thinking, but you know what, I don't even know. I really can't answer that. And I remember Ange saying, Victoria's really determined. And I thought she was just being a good mum and saying something. I couldn't see Victoria's determination. Fast forward now, and someone asks me, what are Victoria's strengths? It's the first thing that I say.
Yeah.
It's like her superpower. In coaching, they talk about your certainty as a coach has to be greater than your client's doubt. Well, Victoria's certainty in herself will override everyone's doubt. For Victoria, no doesn't mean no. No means not yet. And she will keep going until she gets to yes, or at the very least she gets to a maybe. So that was one thing. Another thing, shortly afterwards, somebody asked me, hey, what does Victoria wear when you give her the choice of what she'd like to wear? Now, because of her intellectual disability, because of her physical challenges, we were doing everything for Victoria. And again, I just stopped and I thought, you know what? I've never given her the choice. And so the next chance I had to put her in some clothes, I gave her the choice. I said, honey, would you like this or that? And she chose without hesitating. She chose which one she wanted clearly. And that hurt me, not for me, but for her. How could I not know that she was able to? And so one thing led to another. And when I started to really move into my agency, there was a time when we had to get a therapist at home. We wanted them to see and experience Victoria in her own environment, not in a therapist's office. And so they came over, but they would only come over if they did a double session. And Victoria really struggles with her ability to stay focused on something. She will just move on to the next thing. So, yeah, sessions were always difficult, and we knew that a double session would be difficult. And at the end of that session, which was, you know, bordering on traumatic for her, because you're asking her to do stuff that she just didn't want to do anymore and she had given up. And that's when I vowed to myself that I would never put her through that again. And this whole notion of, you know, you're an expert, people say that to you, but you don't start to realize it until you experience it and start to believe it. And I remember thinking, you know what, I'm never going to do that to her again. You know, these sessions are hard for her, like a single session. So I'm going to now do stuff with her for a minute. And the minute was going to be easy because I could steal a minute anytime. Yeah, I could steal it in the morning. I could steal it in the afternoon. I could steal it in the evenings. And Victoria then realized that it wasn't going to last forever. it wasn't going to go on and on. So we did a minute, and then, in a week or two, a minute became two, and 2 minutes became three, and then three became five and 10. And so then I started to realize, this parental agency is,
Working. Yeah, this is real.
And look, it's interesting because then you start to get curious and you start to challenge your thinking and your doing. And you slowly begin to realize, this thing about it's real. And the strange thing about it is I knew it to be true for my son. I'm important and vital to his development. So why did I realize that about my daughter? I really don't know. The medical model, this notion of being stuck in deficits and buying into these things that they tell us that our children will be able or not be able to do. I talk about how I'm just so glad Victoria didn't get that memo.
Yeah, and I think for those of us that work in the sector, it's just so important to hear what it feels like when a parent is really trying to navigate to the very, very best of their ability. But at the same time, that parental agency is what's really important. When you think about that notion and how important that is to drive hope and possibility, what did that mean for you, Mello?
Hope's a really difficult one. And I remember when we would talk about it, Angela and I, and she'd get really emotional and she'd say, gee, it's hard to hope. This is off the back of them saying to us, take her home and love her for as long as you have her. Fortunately, I came to realize that hope is not about blind hope. Hope is not about the hope that, when we buy a lotto ticket and we hope that that wins, or we hope our team wins on the weekend. There's science in hope. Schneider's hope theory is linked to having a goal or desired outcomes. Parental agency, which is the equivalent to believing that you make a difference in an outcome, and pathway, a plan, ways to get there. And so that hope is real. And that hope is also important. As for possibility, well, Victoria's already proven the experts wrong. As I said to you, I'm so glad that she didn't get the memo. So, in terms of that curiosity and what might be, the girl who wouldn't talk, they said, she actually sings in three languages. She sings in Greek. She actually sings songs in Greek that I didn't know and I learnt because of her interest. And she also sings in Vietnamese. We've got a wonderful carer that she has connected with deeply. She sings in three languages. So why not adopt Victoria's model of no means not yet?
Mello, you spoke just before we got started. You showed me some beautiful images and a story. And one of the stories that probably illustrates this notion of possibility and how, as parents, we might impact that possibility is surfing, you shared. Would you like to share that story?
So I was talking to you about that because it was a reminder for me, even me working in this sector and sharing this wonderful content that I'm fortunate to do with families, how sometimes we can be the ones that are getting in the way. And I don't say that to make anyone feel bad. And I remember there was a good friend that was sharing how her son was going to Disabled Service Association. And really enjoying it, sharing how it was a wonderful organization. But I do remember thinking in my mind, yeah, that's great, but not for Victoria. Even knowing that her son has significant physical challenges like my daughter, perhaps greater, I just sort of ruled it out. And it was really interesting because I just thought, because of what I believed to be true or for my daughter, I just made that
That
call.
assumption that, yeah, she wouldn't be able to participate.
And it was at school pickup one day, and just talking to her friends in mainstream school that she goes to. And they were saying what they were doing on the weekend. And a couple of them mentioned that they were doing nippers. And they said Victoria should come too. And that's when I thought, why not? Why not? And then when I, remembered what was shared to me about disabled surfers, and I thought, why not? And we did go. We made the call. We found out it was Yellow Fins, which is an organization that provides support for children with disabilities. So I had faith that they were going to know what they were doing and do it well, which they do. And having said that, Victoria went. The first week that she went, Simone, she didn't go in the water. And were some tears. Came home so excited about nippers. I went to nippers and she's telling me, Ange took her that first week. The second week, we both went and there was tears again. She didn't want to go in the water. But we just took time with their expertise in children and getting them in the water and my expertise in knowing my daughter and just knowing that, hey, we'll just do it. And so, yeah, she went to nippers. And so this being curious, I think, can be really, really powerful. And I think the other thing is seeing examples of other people achieving things.
And Mello, you said something a little while ago that's really important, and it was embedded in other important topics, but I just want to come back to this because you said that you realized that what was happening in the appointments wasn't as important as what was happening in all of the moments at home. And this really links well to what we know to be true, that linking strategies into everyday routines in a child's natural context is where the true magic and potential really can be harnessed. Building the capacity of parents is vital to do that. How, as workers in the sector, can we support attainment of that capacity and that parental agency in our work?
Yeah, this is a really tricky one and a difficult one, I think. And you know what? I have to put my hand up and say that in those early days, where, as I said earlier, thinking I needed to run around and get to appointments, when I got to the appointment, I have to really accept the fact that I virtually handed over Victoria and that appointment. And certainly, even when they would do at home appointments, I might say, I've just got something that I need to do and then disappear. So, how can we activate that awareness in parents, which is essentially also shifting them from this medical model of reliance and dependence? Because we're entering into this uncertainty of all these challenges, and we think that everyone else has got the answers. And in essence, they do have the answers, but then part of that relationship is, okay, well, the feedback that we get from an OT, a physio, or whoever it might be, then has to be followed through at home. So I suppose the one thing that I would say to that is the way that that's communicated at the moment needs to be reassessed because it's not connecting with enough parents. The one thing that I think is really, really powerful, and I mentioned earlier, is other parents being involved. And so the notion of lived experience is something that connects parents in ways that doesn't even connect us with our own family. We get each other in ways that people don't. And so getting a message from another parent whose child might have a totally different disability or challenge, but we get each other. So when that message is delivered from a parent, it's almost like it's saying, you know what? No one's expecting you to do more. Everyone just wants to help you get more out of all the stuff that you're already
Already
doing.
doing. So I think what I'm really hearing, Mello, is just how important it has been for you to connect with and hear from other parents. And that has, in many ways, served to shift your active engagement or perspective that's really then kickstarted this parental agency. Is that you're nodding? Have I?
And you know what it is? I think what a parent peer, someone with a lived experience does is it connects the powerful information of the content with the belief it can happen because there's an experience of it through that parent's voice. And then allowing it to get through some of the blocks that the parents might have, just like I thought, oh yeah, not for Victoria. Oh, what, going to a beach with a tide is going to freak her out.
And it ties back nicely to the point that we were talking about before is if you can see it, you can be it. So you shared a line that you use, better partners, better parents, better people. What does this mean to you?
For me, firstly, it's not about being good. It was interesting when I was thinking about it. I didn't like the idea of good because I thought, well, if we feel that we're not good, well, the flip side of that, what does that mean that we're bad? I thought I was a good parent running around doing all those things before, and I realized that didn't make me a bad parent. It just made me realize that, there was more to do. I think that there's always room for being better. And I also think that there's no greater motivation for us than to do something for our child. So being a better parent, being more engaged, being more active, being more consciously aware, doing those things. So Angela then starts to see me being a better parent. And then by default, that influences our relationship. So then we begin to become better partners. And I think that when you have that awareness of being present, being active, being involved, there's a ripple effect where, not only do you then become a better partner, but by default also almost that ripple effect of you become a better person. This is all off the back of focusing on being a better parent. So I just think that I love the simplicity in it because it's not putting just pressure on us. It's about being better. And what can I do? What else? What more? What now? It might be just one thing that we're working on.
Thanks, Mello. Mello, give us a little update on Victoria now. I hear that there's a big transition next year to high school.
There is. And, we've been very, very fortunate considering we were told that Victoria wouldn't go to a school. And I remember doing cartwheels when we got a call and they said, you know what, she might be a candidate to go to a special unit. But the thing about that, Simone, was we were there for 12 months, not even 12 months. And I turned to Ange and I said, honey, I don't know that this is the right place for our daughter. To which she replied, just be grateful. And I said, no, I am grateful. I really am grateful. And I know intellectually Victoria is going to struggle at any level of education, but the school experience and the energy and her social connection that she not only craves, but I think she brings this wonderful energy. And yes, I might be biased, but I wanted to take her out. So eventually, after another year at the special unit, she went to a mainstream primary school, which she's been at now for 4 years. They have embraced her in ways that I just could never have imagined. And when I say embrace, and I know this is not true for all parents' experience, but it's been wonderful. And that sense of curiosity has changed the way that I engage in everything that I do for her and with her. But now we're going into high school. And it means we're going to go into a brave new world of new environment and potentially some new thinking. But we are so excited for her. The energy that she brings and the connection that she has and also the way that I see she receives it. We will go shopping and people are saying hello to us. We went out for dinner on Friday night and the lady that signed us in said, hello, Victoria. And we were like, we just couldn't believe that people know her. And it's really interesting. And it's really important to me because that was one of the things that I realized about Victoria was that she loves social engagement so much. And so then I realized that I needed to give her more experiences of that. Because if people saw Victoria more, then they would be hopefully more accepting of her. And then my hope also was that not only would they be more accepting of Victoria, but hopefully they'll be more accepting of the next child that they might see with a disability delay or challenge. Yeah, so it is really exciting times ahead, not without challenges. So we know that there's going to be challenges also. We're prepared for those.
And Mello, it sounds like a wonderful community where you are recognising each other, which is something that I experienced living in a very small town. It surprises me to hear that in the city that you can have that same experience of walking down the street and saying hello.
It is beautiful to feel part of the community. It's beautiful to be embraced by the community. The other thing also is to be embraced by like a community of support, a network of people going through similar situations. And I think that's been valuable also. Even as I deliver training to people, because I love the idea of paying it forward. I'm here, I am because of all these wonderful, amazing parents that didn't accept what others said was going to be possible for their children. And yeah, a gentleman by the name of Ray Murray, who was a trainer in the disability sector, said something that has stayed with me and will stay with me. And that is that we are all a rich resource to one another. And there is something that we can both share with others and be open to receiving from others. Yes, we might need to modify it and change it a little bit to suit our situation, but we are all a rich resource to one another.
Well, Mello, look, I think that's a really great place to finish up on because your story has really resonated with me and given me much to think about and reflect upon as somebody who's been part of that medical model, which we all need to take stock and consider how we're supporting that parental agency. Thank you, Mello, very much, and wishing you, your family, and Victoria all the best.
Thank you so much, Simone, and likewise, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mello, for generously sharing your story and experiences today. Mello provided a visual for us of what it felt like not to have parental agency. He described feeling like he was in the passenger seat on his own journey. He described feeling like he'd handed over his parental agency to others because he had dismissed or not considered or not valued the importance of his influence on Victoria's development. Mello then talked about how he regained his position in the driver's seat over time by gradually challenging his own thinking. For Mello, it was his connection with other parents where positive examples became a pathway forward for him to follow. When considering hope and possibility, Mello spoke of the science of hope, having a goal, believing you can make a difference, and having a pathway to follow. Again, he shared how important it was for him to connect with other families with lived experience of disability to activate his own thoughts and perspectives, and finally, a sense of agency. For Mello, connecting with other families and their lived experience provided a platform from which he could see the pathway forward towards hope and possibility. Mello reminded us, if you can see it, you can be it. Thank you, Mello.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Early Childhood Intervention Family Voices. Make sure you subscribe to your podcast app and feel free to leave a review to help us gain more understanding of what type of conversations are helpful to you. More information about this podcast can be found on ekiavic.org.au. Until next time, thank you for listening.